This is a News Laundry podcast, and you're listening to Reporters Without Orders.
Order, order. Hello and welcome to Reporters Without Orders, a podcast where we talk about what made news, what didn't, and some things that absolutely shouldn't have. I'm your host, Snigdha, and joining me today on Ringer are three News Laundry reporters, Hamida, Ayush, and Basant. Hello, you guys.
Hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. Having fun.
Okay, you're the only person who say that.
I think she's being sarcastic.
We are having a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah, you have cats, no? If I had cat, I would have fun too.
Bro, cats ko bhi coronavirus ho sakta hai. Do you know how scary?
Oh yeah.
Really, cats can have coronavirus.
Yeah.
Shit.
I know.
So that's one less thing for you to worry about.
All right, so before we begin the podcast, I want to tell all the new listeners about News Laundry. We are a 100% ad-free news platform, and we need your support to stay afloat. So please subscribe to us and pay to keep news free. Go to newslaundry.com/subscription and click on the subscribe button on the top right corner of the website.
And listeners, if you're listening to this podcast on Spotify, Stitcher, or other podcast platforms, remember we have a website, newslaundry.com, where you can head and check out the other cool stuff that we do, which includes ground reports, interviews, podcasts, comics, and whatnot.
Great. So guys, let's begin with some bizarre news stories. What do you say? Who wants to go first? Basant, aapka kya hai is hafte ka bizarre news?
Abhi to kuch matlab hai. Is samay sab dar ka mahal hai, phir bhi bizarre news hai. Wo bhi mere hi rajy se hai, Bihar se. Wahan train band hai aur matlab train to band hi hai, sabko pata hai. एक शख्स की उसकी पत्नी से लड़ाई हुई, वो मरने के लिए रेलवे ट्रैक पर गया और रेलवे ट्रैक पर सोया रहा, ट्रेन नहीं आई, फिर लौट के वापस चला गया।
बसंत वो न्यूज़ का हेडलाइन पढ़ के सुनाएंगे ना।
पत्नी से हुआ झगड़ा तो ट्रैक पर लेटा पति, नहीं आई ट्रेन, लौटा घर। 3 घंटे मतलब वहां पे पड़ा रहा वो व्यक्ति ट्रैक के ऊपर, सोया रहा और ट्रेन ही नहीं आई। तो
अरे काफी लंबा चौड़ा रिपोर्ट था।
हाँ मतलब बेचारा है, मतलब चलिए सही हुआ ट्रेन नहीं चल रही, वैसे भी इतने सारे लोग मर रहे हैं कोरोना की वजह से दुनिया भर में, भारत में चलो सही है कि हमारी संख्या कम है, लेकिन बेचारा बच गया कोरोना के चक्कर में, किसी की जान तो बची। तो ये है बताने वाले।
नाइस। आयुष।
या सो आई वाज लुकिंग अप ऑल दीस बिजार कंस्पिरेसी थ्योरीज बिहाइंड द यू नो पेंडेमिक। So there were many ones, and there's this American singer Kerry Hilson who said that the pandemic was probably caused because of 5G, you know. Because what? 5G was launched in China, and therefore, you know, her theory was that before every great crisis there is a telecom boom that occurs historically. And there was a 5G boom before the coronavirus thing. So the 5G caused it. And then, of course, there is, you know, the theory about this being a bioweapon. Then there is another one on Twitter doing the rounds these days, which says that the U.S. military brought the virus to China, which is...
Wow.
But the 5G one is the most intriguing one. I mean, there is... it's even in the domain of conspiracy theories, it's so bad, you know? Because all the pseudoscience have pseudo evidence, but this one does not even have pseudo
this
evidence.
This one has nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so lots fine. Of it's a great time for people who love conspiracy theories, man. Like,
yeah,
believe in so much. All right, so my bizarre news.
That for some reason you can't see the people who don't believe in vaccines anywhere now. Because obviously coronavirus aa gaya hai. So
yeah. Right, so my bizarre news is from Chhattisgarh. This policeman found this not bizarre, I would say, but quite a fun way to warn people about coronavirus and the situation. So he went viral on Twitter after ANI shared this video. His name is Abhinav Upadhyay. And he's from Bilaspur, right? And so he went to a colony and he started singing a song about Corona in the tune of Ek Pyar Ka Nagma Hai. You know that old Lata Mangeshkar song?
Beautiful song.
Yeah, so he went... Let me actually play it. Yeah, so this guy was like very serious about it. You know, I think he was a budding singer maybe when he was young, but he turned out to be a policeman. And he had like a proper mic and everything, and he had all the moves, man. Like, you know, it was fun watching that video. And I've got this other bizarre news also, talking about policemen in Oregon in the US. The cops actually had to remind the residents not to call 911 if they run out of toilet paper. And also,
ऐसा यूपी में भी हुआ, लोग समोसे मांग रहे थे हेल्पलाइन नंबर पे फोन करके.
I was just thinking about going up yesterday.
No, you know, so I find it so bizarre that you know, all these countries, they use toilet paper to wash their bums or whatever after pooping, but we use water, right? Indians use water, but because these videos went viral, even people in India started buying toilet paper, like hoarding toilet paper, which is so strange, right? We use water, man. Anyway, so moving on to our ground reports. Our reporters Basant and Ayush, you might have heard of the migrant worker situation in major cities. Here in Delhi also, it was terrible. We saw some horrid videos. Ayush and Basant actually went to all these bus depots to see what's going on. Ayush, you did a ground report from Lal Kuan.
Yeah.
And can you tell us where exactly this is?
Lal Kuan is at the intersection of the Grand Trunk Road and NH 24 in Ghaziabad.
Right.
Yeah.
So tell us about, as soon as you reached, what was the situation like? How many people did you see, like, if you had to put an estimate?
I think there were easily more than 1,000 people there. And there were at least half the number of buses, or at least, you know, 200-300 buses, both private and state buses. There was Haryana public transport. There was UP public transport. So, and these buses, the Haryana buses, for example, were free. The UP buses were charging like every person $600-700, and the private buses were also doing the same. But
this is Uttar Pradesh Transport Corporation buses.
Yes.
So aren't they supposed to be government? Why were they charged? Like, how come they were charging? Did you ask them?
Yeah, I mean, the government buses usually do charge money, but I think the UP government hadn't expressly said that during the migrant exodus, when they'd be helping people with transport, it'll be free. So they were not free then.
Right. And what were the bus fares like? Like, I mean, do you have any idea of normal bus fare and what they were charging?
So, for example, from Delhi to Lucknow, the UP government buses were charging some 728 rupees. One bus I, you know, walked up to. I have it on video also. Other people I talked to who were going to Hardoi were asked for $600-700. So, I mean, the $600-700 is what a daily wage earner earns in 2 days, you know, if he doesn't eat or spend it on anything. That's the money he'll end up with. So, so they were very expensive. But the most striking thing was that even though there was food and water and no one was hungry or thirsty, there was hardly any social distancing. There was a group of, you know, a dozen policemen which were trying to micromanage everything and failing at it. So
1,000, more than 1,000 people and about 10 or 12 policemen?
Yes, you can say that.
Ayush, since you mentioned, you know, so many people together, can you explain to our listeners, because a lot of people still don't understand that, you know, basic stuff like social distancing in India, especially, and access to soap and water, it's actually a privilege, right? So can you tie that in with examples of what you saw at the bus stop to explain that, you know, it is a privilege?
Yeah, I mean, the coronavirus spreads through, you know, you can say a partial physical contact. So when an infected person talking or he sneezes or coughs, there are pores that come out of your nose and your mouth that are in the air. And if you don't maintain a distance of at least 2 meters, you stand a chance of being infected. So, which is why governments and the WHO recommend that you should maintain social distancing and you should stay inside your homes and not congregate at anywhere. So, I mean, this is the in the absence of a vaccine, this is the most effective way of avoiding getting infected. Now, if you do not follow this, and since this is, you know, happens through pores, one person can infect two can infect 4 and 4, 16. It goes exponential, and in about 30 steps, it goes to a billion people, you know, because that's how exponents work. So in that kind of crowd, the risk of even one agent spreading the disease to the people is so high. It's almost a fertile field of infection. You know, it's a possible hotbed. And I think the Solicitor General made a submission in the Supreme Court yesterday where he said that at least 30% of all those migrants who've traveled from Delhi might have coronavirus. Now, as you can imagine, if they were still in Delhi, there could have been arrangements made to accommodate them in hospitals were they to fall sick. But since they'll be heading back to their villages in the towns where, you know, the healthcare system, I wouldn't even say it's in shambles, I'll say it's absent. If they fall ill, what will happen? You can imagine the scale of the tragedy.
And plus all the lack of information, right? Because of which they might get stigmatized and ostracized from their own societies, from their villages.
Exactly. When the Spanish flu, you know, spread in America during the First World War, for the first lot of months, people, the newspaper reports were saying that it was pneumonia that was killing people. They hadn't even figured out that it was, you know, some distinct influenza. So when this goes to Indian cities and towns and people begin dying, there'll probably be distorted reporting. They'll be underreporting. Probably it won't even come out. All types of superstitious developments. So these things will happen in the coming days. It's not that if it would happen, but when it would start happening. Second is, why did that happen in the first place? Why are people heading from cities to these towns? And, you know, there's so much nonsense on television, which you see these days, because channels are like, you know, there was rumor mongering. Some parties had cut electricity supply, forcing people to leave. This is nonsense. Yeah. Nothing of this sort happened. These people are going to villages and towns because of a simple reason. They cannot sustain a livelihood in the city. The shops which they work at are closed. You know, they can't pay their rents. Many of them live in the same shop where they work. So the shops are closed, so they cannot even live there. A lot of them are construction workers who are employed by these mediatory contractors, you know, who mediate between the company and the workers. So the companies don't pay the contractors, so the contractor doesn't pay the workers. So that whole cycle is halted. The economy is halted. So these people are not getting their wages. So if anyone wants to live, if anyone wants to survive, he has to find a better place. That's the reason these people migrated to cities. All migration in human history happened because people want a better life. When they don't get it, they move to other places. And this is what these people are doing. It's as elementary as that. So this is when I interviewed people at Lal Kuan, this is what we found out, that there were workers, these people who, you know, think that they won't live too long if they were in the cities during the lockdown, which is why this is happening.
Basant.
Ji.
बसंत आप आनंद विहार बस टर्मिनस गए थे ना आप बताइए आयुष ने जैसे बताया उसने क्या देखा आप बताइए कि आप मतलब कितने लोग थे रफली वहां पे और क्या चल रहा था कितने पुलिस वाले थे
आयुष के बाद में मैं एक बात जोड़ना चाहूंगा आपने पूछा कि सरकार किराया क्यों ले रही थी और इतना क्राउड आया कैसे आनंद विहार में और लाल कुआं में वहां यूं कि जैसे लॉकडाउन की घोषणा हुई मजदूर तबका जाने लगा पैदल उस वक्त संख्या बहुत ज्यादा नहीं थी कम थी लेकिन लोग जा रहे थे इसमें कोई दो राय नहीं था लोग जा रहे थे मैं तब भी वहां था एक दिन जैसे लोगों की परेशानी बढ़ी तो योगी आदित्यनाथ ने एक आदेश जारी किया कि जितने लोग यूपी में फंसे हुए हैं उनको बसों के जरिए उनके गंतव्य तक छोड़ा जाएगा जिसमें बिहार के लोग हैं बिहार और यूपी के लोग इस घोषणा के साथ ही खबर जब टीवी पे चली और मीडिया में आई तो लोग काफी संख्या में आनंद विहार पहुंच गए। शनिवार की शाम की आपने तस्वीरें देखी होगी आनंद विहार में, मतलब कम से कम 50,000 लोग थे वहां पे, चारों तरफ पूरा आनंद विहार भरा हुआ था। यूपी सरकार ने वादा किया और उसी दौरान तत्काल ये हुआ कि जो दिल्ली में लोग थे उनको बसों से डीटीसी की बसों से भरकर यूपी आनंद विहार और लाल कुआं दिल्ली सरकार छुड़वाने लगे। दिल्ली सरकार ने भी गलती किया जब वो कह रहे हैं कि हम खाने का इंतजाम कर रहे हैं तो लोगों को आनंद विहार और लाल कुआं छुड़वाने की बजाय आप किसी स्टेडियम में रख लेते, बहुत सारे दिल्ली में स्टेडियम है वहां पे उनके खाने का इंतजाम करते या उनसे रिक्वेस्ट करते कि आप घर जाइए हम खाने का इंतजाम करेंगे। दूसरी बात, और वहां पे यूपी सरकार ने ये धोखा किया, हालांकि संडे की शाम को उन लोगों ने मुफ्त कर दिया जब तक ज्यादातर मजदूर जा चुके थे, और मंडे तक लॉक वहां पे वो कर दिया गया कि कोई भी बस नहीं चलेगी और कोई भी किसी को भी छोड़ा नहीं जाएगा, मतलब किराया वसूल लिया शाम तक, बाद में मुफ्त कर दिया। और उन्होंने वादा किया था कि फ्री में लोगों को घर छोड़ेंगे, ठीक है। और उसके बाद हैरान करने वाली बात ये थी कि लॉकडाउन की स्थिति में सरकारी बसें आई सरकार के आदेश पे, ये प्राइवेट बसें कैसे चलने लगी थी सड़कों पे जो 800, 900, 1,000 रुपए वसूल रहे थे। दूसरी बात, अब हम आते हैं, लौटते हैं, मैंने क्या देखा। मैं उस दिन आनंद विहार गया था, फिर उसके बाद लाल कुआं गया था, लाल कुआं के बाद मैं सराय कालेखा भी आया था। एक मतलब परेशान करने वाली तस्वीर आ रही है। मैं अभी एक दूसरी स्टोरी कर रहा हूँ कि इस पूरे दौरान मजदूरों का प्लान हो रहा था और मजदूर यूनियन क्या कर रहे थे, जो एक समय पे मजदूर यूनियन का बहुत बड़ी पकड़ हुआ करती थी। तो इसमें मैंने आरएसएस के मजदूर यूनियन, भारतीय मजदूर संघ के जनरल सेक्रेटरी से बात किया, तो उन्होंने मुझसे कहा, और जो बीजेपी के तमाम लोग कह रहे हैं कि ये एक साजिश के तहत मजदूरों को भेजा गया। तो मैं ग्राउंड पे था, आयुष ग्राउंड पे था, आयुष भी बता सकते हैं कि हमने इतने मजदूरों से बात की, मुझे एक भी मजदूर ऐसा नहीं मिला जो जिसकी अपनी परेशानी ना हो और उसकी परेशानी वाजिब ना हो। ऐसा नहीं है कि किसी ने कह दिया कि चले जाओ तो चले गए। प्रधानमंत्री अभी के समय में प्रधानमंत्री मोदी से ज्यादा लोकप्रिय कोई नहीं है। दिल्ली में केजरीवाल की लोकप्रियता सबको पता है कि प्रधानमंत्री की उपस्थिति में भी उन्होंने इतनी सीटें लाई और दोबारा सत्ता में आए। ये तमाम लोग जब कह रहे थे तो दिल्ली में कौन सी ऐसी शक्ति है जो इनसे ज्यादा पावरफुल है और उसने कह दिया कि मजदूर चले जाएं और मजदूर चले गए। तो मजदूर जो जा रहे थे, मैं स्निग्धा जी आपको एक दृश्य बताऊंगा, दो दृश्य जो मुझे याद है। पिछले दिनों जब हम दंगे की रिपोर्टिंग करके लौटे थे तो आपने पूछा था कि आपको कैसे इसने असर किया दंगे ने, तो मैंने कहा था मुझ पे कोई असर नहीं होता, मैं लंबे समय मतलब काफी सारे दंगे कवर कर चुका हूं। लेकिन इस लॉकडाउन की स्थिति में मैं दो बार बाहर गया, और एक तो पर्सनल डर रहता है कि हमें ना होता है, एक तो डर ये रहता है, और दूसरा जो मजदूरों की स्थिति देखने के बाद एक ऑलरेडी मेंटली मेंटल मतलब मैं भी प्रभावित हो गया। अब एक व्यक्ति थे जो सागर के रहने वाले थे, मध्य प्रदेश, वो रिक्शा होता है रिक्शा चलाते थे गाजियाबाद में। उनकी मकान मालकिन ने कहा कि किराया दो और कमरा खाली करो, जबकि गाजियाबाद जिलाधिकारी ने कह रखा है कि किसी को मजदूर से किराया नहीं लिया जाएगा। उसकी मकान मालकिन ने किराया ले लिया, उनको घर से निकाल दिया। वो सागर जो यहाँ से 700-800 किलोमीटर है, वो रिक्शे पे अपने बच्चे को बैठा के जा रहे थे। सोचिए 700 किलोमीटर कोई रिक्शे से जा सकता है। इसके अलावा हमने देखा एक रोहतक से व्यक्ति आ रहे थे जो मुझे डीएनडी पे मिले, उनकी उम्र लगभग 60 साल थी, और वो चल रहे थे ना, तो ऐसे लग रहा था कि अब गिर जाएंगे तब गिर जाएंगे। हमने अपनी गाड़ी रोकी और उनसे पूछा कि कहाँ जा रहे हैं। उनकी स्थिति ये नहीं थी कि वो बोल सके, उन्होंने बोला नहीं, उनकी आंखों से आंसू गिरने लगे। वो मतलब वो सब परेशान कर रहा है। आपने हम एक वीडियो देखी होगी जो हम अपने यहाँ न्यूज लॉन्ड्री पे है कि 8 लोग हैं जो बिहार के बांका जिला, जो दिल्ली से उसी 1400 किलोमीटर दूर है, वहां साइकिल से निकल पड़े हैं कि हम बांका साइकिल से पहुंच जाएंगे। तो ये तमाम चीजें है, इसमें कोई दो राय नहीं है कि सरकार ने मतलब जल्दबाजी को, मतलब लॉकडाउन एक जरूरी चीज था इसको फैलने से रोकने के लिए, लेकिन जब हमें पता था कि चाइना लॉकडाउन कर रखा है, जब हमें पता था कि इटली में लॉकडाउन है, तो हमें वो होता है ना कि गलती करके सीखने वाला बहुत चालाक कहलाता है, वो व्यक्ति चालाक कहलाता है जो दूसरों की गलती से सीख ले। हमने सीखा नहीं, हमने लॉकडाउन कर दिया। बहुत सारे लोग मजाक उड़ा रहे हैं, बहुत सारे लोग कमेंट कर रहे हैं कि ये लोग घूमने जा रहे हैं। अरे भूख मतलब भूखा आदमी घूमने नहीं जाता ना, घूमने वो क्लास जाता है, जो छुट्टियां मनाने गोवा जाता है, ये क्लास तो भूखा है। अगर एक दिन काम नहीं करेगा तो दूसरे दिन खाने को नहीं मिलेगा। एक और दृश्य, अगर आपके पास टाइम हो तो मैं मतलब हमारे पास समय हो तो बताना चाहेंगे कि सोनीपत से 14 लोग आए यहाँ आनंद विहार, ठीक।
हाँ,
एक ठेले पे सामान, उसमें 7-8 बच्चे थे, महिलाएं थे, 4-5 पुरुष थे, कुछ लोग ऐसे। तो उसने, जो व्यक्ति जिसका ठेला था, उसने क्या किया कि जो उसके रिश्तेदार थे, आनंद विहार से गाड़ियां चल रही थी, दिल्ली सरकार ने चलाई थी झांसी के, यूपी के अलग अलग जगहों के लिए, तो अपने रिश्तेदारों को बैठा दिया बसों में, और खुद और उनका दो बेटा और उसकी पत्नी ठेला लेके जाने लगे। तो मैंने कहा आप 300-250 किलोमीटर ऑलरेडी पैदल आए हैं, झांसी जाने में 600-700 किलोमीटर आपको समय लगेगा, बस से क्यों नहीं जाते। तो उन्होंने मुझसे कहा कि 8,000 रुपए में मैंने ठेला खरीदा है, मैं ठेला छोड़ दूंगा तो भूखे मर जाऊंगा, तो मैं अपने अपने ठेले को लेकर जाऊंगा। मैंने अपने रिश्तेदारों से कह दिया कि आप बस से चले जाओ। तो ये तो स्थिति है, और ऐसी स्थिति में उनको ये कहना कि वो लोग मस्ती के लिए जा रहे हैं, बीजेपी के सैदपुर राज्यसभा सांसद रहे हैं और आर्टिकल उनका छपता रहा है, बलवीर पूंज है जहां तक मुझे नाम याद है, उन्होंने कहा कि ये लोग मस्ती करने जा रहे हैं। आदमी भूखे मस्ती करने नहीं जाता, अगर हम कहीं घूमने जाते तो हमारे पर्स में 2,000-4,000-10,000 रुपए होता है, वहां जाते हैं पार्टी करते हैं, नदी किनारे बैठ के नदी को रात को पानी को जाते हुए देखते हैं, समुद्र किनारे बैठ के। ये लोग कोई मस्ती करने नहीं जा रहे हैं, और इस हालत में पैदल कौन मस्ती करने जाता है।
बिल्कुल,
तो ये मैंने देखा जो
जी। लेकिन आयुष, आई वुड लाइक यू टू आंसर दिस क्वेश्चन। यू नो केजरीवाल एंड अदर state governments also, they've been announcing that they're doing so much for these migrant workers who are getting back to their hometowns, right? Kejriwal said they're feeding 2 lakh people, then he said they're going to feed 4 lakh people every day, and they've arranged for shelters and all of that. The ads everywhere, they've had the time to paint ads, put up ads. Why is it not filtering down to like these people? What's the problem?
Well, I mean, that goes beyond just this crisis. I mean, you know, the whole idea of charity is that there is a system that produces a lot of flaws, and then to almost cover up those flaws in a very marginal way, there are people who do charity, you know, and provide relief instead of tackling the whole systemic problem. So, I mean, you can still give them a little leeway, given this is such a, you know, it's a crisis. It came out of nowhere. But the groundwork for the lockdown, I mean, the Indian media, with all its focus, and you know, last night there's this whole Tablighi Jamaat controversy going on.
So
last night, prime time was pretty vicious. And with all the drama and spectacle and pageantry of TV news and, you know, other mediums of media, they're not asking what was the groundwork that was laid before this lockdown was announced. Because this will last long. It will probably last way beyond April 14.
Yes.
And there are economic problems that people are now beginning to face. And now the challenge lies, someone wrote, in making this whole lockdown sustainable. So do they have any plans for even doing that? What is the idea? What is the strategy? So, and I suspect that there is none, because the migrant exodus showed us that something that could have been sensed, you know, because the workers lie at the very fundamental, at the base of the economy. The process of production starts from their level. You know, they make the instruments of production, they make the commodities which enters the market, and then there is the whole new sector of economy joining in from there. So if you couldn't even grasp that the most people who lie at the very bottom will get affected the very first, at the moment this lockdown begins, it's very much possible that there is no plan for, as this moves progressively, you know, above. So I think it's just simply not sensing the implications of the policy that you're putting in place. It's, I mean, simply because this is an afterthought, you know. This was done after the problem surfaced. It was not preempted. No one saw it coming. When it started happening, this set up shelter homes, they're converting hospitals, and, you know, they're organizing the buses. So there's a lack of planning. I mean, in simple terms, even the Kejriwal government, with all its orders it loves to, you know, put out these vaguely worded 50-word orders saying prohibition of gathering of 200 people, 50 people, this, that. But there is no action on the streets. Governance only reaches the Gazette of India. It does not reach the people of India in a way.
Yeah, even in like, for example, the whole incident where that congregation occurred, they said that they had already put out the order, but then how come the police never found out? I mean, so many people were gathering together. How did they not do anything about it?
Yeah, I mean, order is just the first step in a long process of governance. Yeah, you put out the order, then you enforce the order, then you punish the people who put out the order. Mm. These people just put out the order and they go straight to punishing them. You know, that too 15 days later after this thing comes out. So you're right.
Yeah. हाँ तो बसंत आपसे मैं पूछना चाहती थी कि हम पुलिस के बारे में बात कर रहे हैं मतलब पुलिस का अप्रोच क्या रहा आपने जो वहाँ पे देखा बस स्टैंड्स में
तो मैं एक थोड़ा सा चीज पहले का चीज बताना चाहता था जो आयुष से आपने पूछा था कि शनिवार को हम सब ने देखा कि हजारों की संख्या में लोग आनंद विहार पे थे ठीक रविवार को हम लोग फिर वहाँ रिपोर्टिंग के लिए थे तो आनंद विहार बस स्टॉप पे जहाँ से हजारों लोग जा चुके थे और हजारों लोग जाने के लिए आ रहे थे वहां पे दिल्ली सरकार के कर्मचारी बोर्ड लगा रहे थे जिसपे लिखा हुआ था दिल्ली सरकार ने आप सभी के लिए रहने और खाने का पूरा इंतजाम कर दिया है आपको दिल्ली छोड़कर जाने की जरूरत नहीं है और इस जहां ये बोर्ड लग रहा था उसके सामने ही 500 लोग खड़े थे जाने के लिए ठीक है अब लौटते हैं पुलिस की स्थिति पे नो डाउट की पुलिस ने कुछ बेहतर काम किया है इस दौरान हालांकि गलियों में घूम घूम के लोगों को भगाना लोगों को घरों पे रहना ये पुलिस कर रही थी हम लोग जब दिल्ली में गाड़ी से घूम रहे थे तो हर 2 किलोमीटर बाद 3 किलोमीटर बाद पुलिस जांच कर रही थी कार्ड देख रही थी पुलिस ने बेहतर काम किया है इसमें कोई दो राय नहीं है लेकिन जो निजामुद्दीन वाला मामला आया उसमें तो पुलिस की भी गलती दिखती है इसमें कोई दो राय नहीं कि जमात के लोगों ने बहुत बड़ी गलती की है आप अपनी जिंदगी से खेल रहे हैं आसपास के लोगों की जिंदगी से खेल रहे हैं सबसे ज्यादा डर हम सबको अपनी जिंदगी का रखना चाहिए जो लोग वहां 2000 की संख्या में थे उनको पता था कि सबसे पहले वही मरेंगे बाद में ना दूसरों को मारेंगे वो तो और पुलिस को उसमें सक्रियता दिखाते हुए इन सबको हटाना चाहिए था वहां से निकालना चाहिए था ये बहुत पुलिस से भी गलती हुई है और जमात वालों ने तो बहुत बड़ी गलती की है मुझे व्यक्तिगत रूप से जमात के लोगों के साथ कोई सहानुभूति नहीं है क्योंकि आपको पता है कि आपकी छोटी सी गलती बहुत बड़ा रूप ले सकता है अब इतनी संख्या में लोग प्रभावित तो हो ही गए ना कई लोग मर भी गए उसमें
जी बिल्कुल 6 लोग जितने तो मर चुके हैं तेलंगाना में
24 में पॉजिटिव पाए गए हैं
ओके सो नाउ लेट्स गो टू हमीदा शी हैज बीन वेटिंग फॉर अ व्हाइल वेरी पेशेंटली
इट्स ओके द लॉकडाउन
हमीदा राइट सो हमीदा यू रिसेंटली रोट अ रिपोर्ट एक्चुअली यू फाइल्ड इट यस्टरडे यू स्पोक टू इंडियन एक्सपर्ट्स हु ट्राइड टू प्रेडिक्ट हाउ इट्स गोइंग टू पैन आउट राइट who did you speak to? What were the main things that you gathered from your conversations with these people? And maybe you can get into detail.
So I spoke to a virologist, I spoke to an economist, and I spoke to 2 scientists. And so the virologist, Dr. T. Jacob John, when I spoke to him, he said that he endorsed Dr. Ramanan's projections of the coronavirus affecting 60% of India's population. And he said something very interesting. He said that the reason why such a steep prediction was given so that the Indian government could take the virus seriously. It was meant to shake up the government. So I found that very interesting when he said that. The second person I spoke to was a professor at TIS Mumbai, who was a former professor at TIS Mumbai. And he said that he couldn't give a projection as such because it was very simplistic to give a projection at this point. He said that even though if he would give a projection that, for example, 60% of India's population would get affected, the virus would come back to focus on the other 40% who hadn't gotten affected yet. So he said that this is something that will keep happening. And what is more important right now is that you test and that you try to control the virus as much as you can and that you try to flatten the curve. Because he said that eventually the number of cases is going to increase, But what matters is how it pans out for our healthcare system, which obviously cannot take a lot of load.
Right, right. You also spoke to Shamik, Dr. Rajnikant, right? From ICMR.
Yeah.
What did he have to
say? Yeah. So he again said that he cannot predict coronavirus cases, since it mostly would focus on intervention strategies by the government. But he did say that the mitigation strategies of the government had helped a lot in trying to control the virus. And in that, he spoke about thermal screening, cancellation of visas, restriction of international flights, and then obviously about the lockdown. When I asked him about comorbid cases in India, since India has a lot of diabetic patients, it has a lot of hypertension cases, he said that overall, considering the global projection of the coronavirus, there were only 5% of such cases that were severe or critical based on the comorbidity. So he said that in that case, India had a lot of it had low number of infected cases, and in that it was working towards trying to control the outbreak so that it wouldn't affect those who had a comorbid case.
Okay.
And then another person I spoke to was Shamika Ravi, who is who was the former member of the Prime Minister's Economic and Advisory Council. She's been working with a team of experts. She's part of a task force to help understand and to help give projections based on the Indian context. So, so she said that Dr. Ramanan's calculations were a bit simplistic. And she said that considering how proactive India had been in announcing the lockdown this early, she said that she was very, like, it was a hopeful step, and that they would further on be able to help in controlling the virus.
Right. And Hamida, I would also like you to quickly like talk about Dr. T. Jacob John, right? What he, comparison he made with H1N1 pandemic.
So Dr. T. Jacob John, he said that he was trying to make me understand how the 2009 H1N1 outbreak could give us lessons for the 2019-2020 coronavirus outbreak. He said that the way India had responded to the 2009 outbreak was not the way that India should respond to this outbreak. And in that, he gave examples about how there was still no data, no government data on how many cases as of date had been of the H1N1 outbreak, and what India should do to stop the outbreak from happening further. Interestingly, the WHO in 2019 and in 2020, while talking about global threats to health, had mentioned in both lists about the influenza pandemic and how it could affect India. So Dr. John was trying to make me understand that if India does not act now, the number of cases that have obviously still been undocumented regarding the 2009 H1N1 outbreak could be the number of cases that we're talking for the coronavirus outbreak. And he said that it was very ironic that we would still not know the number, because even at that time, itna testing, like there wasn't a lot of testing. And this time as well, there's not been a lot of focus on testing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Also, I think the ICMR has stopped giving out numbers, right, on their website now.
Yeah, the Ministry of Health is going to do it.
Do you think that's a bit... what do you think of that, actually?
I feel like the ICMR is trying to be, like, very diplomatic about its approach on how to handle the whole outbreak. If you could see, yesterday there was a live discussion on I don't remember exactly, but in that the journalists were talking about how the government was telling them that to not have any negative coronavirus media reports
being coverage
done. Coverage. And that was very interesting, because if you actually think about it, there's a lot that India needs to do in trying to curb the coronavirus outbreak. And the way we are going about it right now, where in the first week of the lockdown, the cases are still mounting. The Nizamuddin thing happened like yesterday, and it's just increasing the threat of the virus. And at this point, it's important that we remain informed and that we're able to do our best, like how Ayush said, be sustainable about it.
Yeah, we don't need any sugar coating. Yeah.
Exactly. But if you watch the news, if you watch how media is covering it, you will just see that there's a very, like, there's a religious angle to the whole thing. And they're not focusing on how there are no testing kits. And even if they are testing kits, they're very expensive. And if you look at how the doctors haven't been given any protective gear, but apparently...
That's another story to tell.
Yeah, but apparently yesterday UNDP tweeted, the Serbia handle of UNDP tweeted that they've been given 90 tons of protective gear from India. So like...
okay.
Yeah.
What's happening?
So like, exactly. Our doctors are wearing helmets, they're wearing raincoats, and they're trying to go to work, and they're trying to control the outbreak. But over here, like, it's very...
Right. All right. So I think with that, we've come to the end of our discussion about our ground reports. Let's finish with some recommendations. All right, Ayush.
I watched Contagion last night on Amazon Prime. And I thought it had some very eerie parallels, you know, to the world we are living in and the movies from 2011. And even though the sort of disaster shown in that movie is, you know, way more overstated than our present crisis, it's a good lesson and very well show. It's very intelligently made, you know, the way they show transmission, the way they show the social disruption. So I'm very much interested in the political and social outcome of a pandemic like this. So that movie captures well. So I think that would be my recommendation for everyone who's listening.
Great. Thank you. Do you recommend all the hypochondriacs to watch it, or do you think it's a bad idea for them?
No, they can watch Pandemic on Netflix instead. I mean, it's way more less drama there.
Okay, cool. All right, what about you, Hamida?
There's this British artist called Riz Ahmed, and he just dropped this album called The Long Goodbye, in which he talks about basically his struggles with being a person from Britain, but also who has a Pakistani nationality. And so he did a podcast about that with Gus Khan and Hassan Minhaj. They basically... Yeah, it's a very interesting podcast. And the name of the podcast is Where You're From. So they talk about their struggles of breaking into the quote unquote the machine, the Hollywood industry, and then trying to make their way by trying to create their own form of music, their own form of artistry. Since Gus Khan and Hassan Minhaj both are stand-up comedians. So Gus Khan has a show on BBC and he's a stand-up comedian as well. And all three of them discuss their origins. They talk about how they broke into the Hollywood industry. They talk about their struggles of maintaining their culture, maintaining their identity, while also being people of, you know, prestige, people with privilege. And how they can maneuver around this outbreak, how they can lead the results later, basically how they can lead the narrative of this outbreak in a much more positive manner. So it's a very nice podcast. It's available on YouTube, on Riz Ahmed's official channel. So I think everybody should listen to that.
Great, we will. Since you're talking about Riz Ahmed, I recently saw this old movie of his from 2010. It's called Four Lions. And it's hilarious. Movie. Oh my God. So it's about a bunch of Muslim men living in Sheffield who decide to wage jihad, right? And they're basically completely incompetent, right? They're not in touch with reality. It's hilarious. And my other recommendation is a podcast. It's called Everything is Alive, and you'll find it on Spotify, and you'll also find it on their website called everythingisalive.com. It was the producer and writer of the podcast is called Jennifer Mills, and it's so funny and it's brilliant at the same time. So it's just a bunch of interviews with inanimate objects. Like, for example, the first one is Louis, who's a can of soda, who has been around the shelf, lying in the shelf for a while. And, you know, he's had some time to think. Then there is Tara, who is a soap. Then there's Dennis, who's a pillow. And it's so funny. It's thought-provoking, it's witty, and just really poignant. So you guys should absolutely listen to it. Listeners, if you liked what you heard, please rate our podcast on iTunes or whatever platform you're tuned into. We also have a bunch of other podcasts like Hafta and Awful and Awesome. Better the rating, more the reach, and that in turn means more subscribers. And that in turn means better content.
And listeners, if you like our podcast, then do spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your family members to listen to this podcast, especially now that everyone of your friends and family members are locked inside their homes. I'm sure they can do with Reporters Without Orders more than they can do with Republic TV.
Absolutely. All right. And guys, please also write to us at contact@newslaundry.com with Reporters Without Orders in the subject line. We're very eager to listen to your criticism and comments. And you can also leave your comments on Twitter and Instagram. And Basant, unfortunately, has been disconnected. And with that, this podcast is adjourned.
All the News Laundry podcasts are available on Stitcher, iTunes, and any other podcast platform.
Please subscribe to News Laundry. Help us keep news independent. To catch all our podcasts on news, pop culture, current affairs, and sport, visit newslaundry.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe to our YouTube channel.